Genesis chapter number 22. We lit in on this last Wednesday night. I'm not going to spend a lot of time in review, but I want to spend a little bit. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Anybody know what Isaac's name means? It means he laughs. That's what his name means. And you remember when Abraham and Sarah found out, you know, he's 100 and she's 90, going to have a baby. Oh, Miss Eve, we ain't even that old yet, amen. I mean, just go ahead and take me on to the hospital because I'm going to pass out, amen. Them grandkids are good, but you can send them home when you're done with them, amen. They don't wake you up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Amen. But anyway, that's what it means. That's what his name means. That's where it come from. And the Bible said here, Whom thou lovest, and get into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for a burnt offering. And rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and he said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And an angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am, or here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said, to this day in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Pray with me a moment. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to come in your presence. God, tonight, so many people, Lord, need your touch. Lord, there's so many people whose lives are turned upside down tonight. Lord, I watch the tears today flow down Brother Ralph's cheeks as he listened to a song about heaven. God, I pray tonight you'd comfort our people. I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd touch in a way that only you can. I ask you tonight, our Father, to clothe us in our calling. God, make us a blessing to our people. Lord, I pray tonight, our Father, that you'd help us in a way, our Lord, that only you can. God will give you glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We've been looking at some of the names of God that are brought about in the Bible. And we started into, we're talking about the doctrines of the Bible. And little did I know that I thought the doctrine of God was just going to be one lesson and we'd move on. I started looking at the names of God, and the more I chewed on it, the bigger it got. And And then we got into the compound names, and that's what you have with Jehovah Jireh. It's a compound name, and it means the Lord will provide. And as I looked at this chapter in times past, in days gone by, and as I've heard it preached, all I could think about was how that God provides the lamb. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's certainly part of the lesson. But as I begin to look at the chapter, God showed me so many more things that He provided in this chapter beside the lamb. And we talked about in verse number 1, it was God that provided the test. I'm telling you, this would change our lives when we're facing the trials of life if we would understand that God provided the trial. God did tempt Abraham. You say, now, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, if you are a born-again Christian, a child of God, anything that comes into your life has to run across God's desk first. Read the book of Job, especially chapter 1 and chapter 2. And so if it runs across God's desk, then we can have confidence that Romans 8:28 is true. And we know, not think, we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. When I'm facing trial or a valley or a dark time in my life, all I got to know is for sure I love Him and He loves me. And all this in the end is going to work out for good. Amen. He didn't say all things were good. And you may have heard this illustration before, but if you take a tablespoonful of lard and put it on my tongue, I'm going to spit it out. If you take some yeast and throw it in my mouth, I'm going to spit it out. If you take a stick of butter and cram it in my mouth, I'm going to spit it out. Amen. You take a cup of flour and pour it in my mouth, I'm going to spit it out. But if you give it to my wife and give her a few minutes and roll it out and put it in the oven and make a biscuit, I ain't spitting it out. And there's a lot of things in our life, that individual things that come along. But what we need to realize is God's making a biscuit. And when we get home, honey, we're going to say it's good. Amen. It's good. Somebody's going to be hollering for a glass of milk and some apple butter. Amen. To go on that biscuit. And so God provided the test. God provided instruction in verse number 2. He gave Abraham detailed instruction on what... Have you ever looked at the Bible like an instruction manual? We have some detailed instructions in the Word of God. And God wants us to understand that if we'll follow them, it'll help us. And then God provided the faith. This has been a blessing to many to understand, beloved, that we have nothing to boast in and of ourselves. You say, well, I believed on the Lord. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing right now. Great. But He gave you the faith to believe. Amen. I like what it was a song Tom Hayes wrote years ago. I believe he wrote it. All of grace is my story, all the way from earth to glory, since by grace He lifted me from sin and woe. Living grace He has extended on my, as on Him my heart depended. And get this, and there'll be new grace when it's my time to go. Amen. The Christian, the believer's life is a life of faith, a life of mercy, a life of grace, the grace of God. And then we touched on this and just barely got started on this, but God provided the place. Look in verse number 4. The Word of God said, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. I'm telling you, you got people that every Monday morning, they're griping as they walk through the gate where they work, or as they walk across the parking lot where they work. You understand where I'm coming from? Oh, they got the Monday morning blues. Amen. But if God's people shouldn't operate like that, we ought to say, hey, God, give me this place to work. God, give me this place to worship. God, give me this place to live. God, give me this place to be a witness. Amen. God, give me this place to pray. A place over here to pray. God, give me this place to study. Amen. I got an old steel desk like I used to have in the schools up in my shop. And I tell you where most of what I get, I'm sitting there or meditating on what God has put in my heart while I'm sitting there with this precious old book, the Bible. Amen. The Bible said unto the place of the altar. And then if you look in verse number 9, the Bible said, and they came to the place which God had told him. In verse number 14, the word of God said again, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I could get bogged down right here. But there ought to be some places in every believer's life that's special. I don't know what kind of remodeling they've done at Landmark Baptist Church, but I could take you within just a couple of feet of the place where God had mercy on my soul. Amen. Where God saved me. Amen. Birthed me into the family of God. And if they've not remodeled it, I can take you to the exact place. Amen. I know that this tonight, that there's some place. There was a place in the Bible of miraculous provision where God provided. And I want you to think, I think about things sometimes. Remember when God fed the 5,000? He takes, what is it, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he begins to break them. I'm going to ask you a question. If you were there that day, do you think you'd forget that place? There ain't no way, brother. Amen. You start with a little boy's lunch. Amen. You feed 5,000, then you've got to have 12 baskets to get the remainder. Then you'd be telling everybody about that place where God provided. Amen. And the word of God said there, make the men to sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. Amen. I'll tell you, when my boy was little, we had a neighbor, and she was a little bit meaner than he was. He finally met his match. He's aggravating her one day. I said, her? She's a girl, I reckon. Amen. But anyway, she made him eat grass. I guarantee you this crowd right here is glad they didn't have to eat grass. They ate fish and they ate bread because they saw Jehovah Jireh, that God will provide. The disciples said, we got to send them away. That 200 penny worth wouldn't buy bread. Jesus said, just set them down. You notice how he done that in order? It's 50 here, 50 here, 50 here. Our God operates that way, decently and in order, don't he? Amen. Now, I don't know how all that went down, but I guarantee you if I was sitting there, whether I was in the front row or the back row, I'd never forget it, what God did on that day. Amen. Then there's the place of service. You remember the story. I won't take the time to read it all, but you remember the story. There was a priest that went down there. Let's look at Luke 10 just a minute. I want to look at this a little bit more. Luke chapter 10. Hurry with me. Luke chapter number 10. The Bible said in verse number 30 here, it said, and Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment. By the way, I'm just interjecting this right here. But you don't really have a problem in a city if you only had 50 people shot in one weekend and only 8 of them died. You don't really have a problem. Say amen. I'm telling you, we're in a mess, ain't we? Say amen. 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 Watch this. And a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiments and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. I'm going to give y'all something right here. Listen, we're talking about that place that God provided. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, God said this is a particular place. The Bible said here, he came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. You know how he took the oil and how that he bound up his wounds and how that he paid the innkeeper to take care of him. You know all that. But let me tell you something about this. Listen, 3 different people was at the same place, but only one of them realized that it was a place that God provided an opportunity to serve him. In other words, beloved, listen to me. This goes along with what Brother Keith preached. If we're not careful, we'll walk right by week after week and day after day and month after month. We'll walk right by opportunities to serve God. Opportunities to help somebody. Opportunities to speak a kind word. Opportunities to be a light in a dark place. Opportunities. Or we're passing them by. We may not go by on the other side on purpose, but if we're not careful, beloved, we won't recognize the place that God has given us. He's provided us a place to serve. And then there's the place of sacrifice. By the way, all three of them were at the place, but two of them didn't recognize it. One of them did. One of them said, I can do something here to help. Amen. I can do something. God can use me. Then there's the place of sacrifice, and that fits with Genesis 22. God provides the place. In Mark 15, 22, and they bring him unto the place, Golgotha. You know what that place is, don't you? That's the place called Calvary. Amen. That's the place in the Old Testament they were looking forward to. That's the place that in the New Testament we're looking back to, the place called Calvary. That place right there is the place that divides men. It's an important place. Luke 23:33 said, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then the Bible said, John 19:17, and he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of the skull. I'm just telling you that it's God that provides the place. Going back years ago, we were looking for a place to live. My wife and I, we had been voted in as pastor at Liberty Baptist Church. We spent the entire morning on the Kingsport side of Liberty Baptist Church looking for a place to live, riding around and looking and looking and looking. And I was, well, I tell you, I was a little bit... I don't know. I wasn't aggravated, but I was just distraught. Amen. God, you brought us here. You know we need a place to live. Amen. And we got some pizza for the kids, and we brought it back to the prophet's chamber. The big kids, too. We all ate pizza. But anyway, we got some pizza for the kids, and when I prayed over the pizza, I really didn't plan on praying like this, Brother John, but I said, God, you know where the place is at. God, I don't know where it's at. Lord, would you show me? And my wife will tell you, we eat pizza, and within 5 minutes, we're sitting right in front of it. For sale. Amen. Guess how long it had been for sale? 13 months. God held that place just for us. Amen. And I looked up her at it, and I said, Miss Eve, that's it, honey. But we can't afford it. Yeah, Abraham had a lot of faith. I didn't have much. Amen. Amen. Talked to the man on the phone that owned it, and he come down $10,000 in 20 seconds. I said, boy, it's looking better all the time. Amen. But I'm just telling you, what if everybody looked at, God, you give us this place to live. You give us this place to work. You give us this place to worship. You give us this place to raise our kids. What if everybody understood that in life there's some special places where God provides. God provides the place. And then there's one more place real quick, and we'll hurry on. The Bible said they came there, you remember, and the Bible said that angel said, he is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see. Anybody know the next two words? The place. Glory to God. There's a place where he died, but there's a place where he got up. Amen. And he's providing the place for you and the place for me. Amen. And then the next thing in the chapter that I want to look at is God provided a promise. If you look at verse number 5, the Bible said, Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. I'm going to ask a question tonight, just warming up to this thought right here. God provided a promise. How many promises are in the Word of God that you think you could name tonight? that you could maybe you couldn't quote the scripture exactly, you understand what I mean, but God promised eternal life to those that would believe on the Lord Jesus. Amen. God promised to meet our needs. My God shall supply all your need according. But you know, I believe a lot of God's people, they couldn't name too many of them. Amen. We ought to be able to name a bunch of them. And we ought to be leaning on those promises. Amen. And we ought to be standing on those promises. And we ought to realize that they're promises of God. All the promises of God in Him are yea. Abraham said to these young men, abide here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And what? Come again to you. You say, how could a man say that when a man's fixing to bind his son on an altar, raise a knife? I'll tell you how he can say that. He can say that because he believes God. Because God made him a promise that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Amen. God made him a promise. All the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Amen. And Abraham believed the promise of God. Did you ever doubt God's promises? I have. Say amen. And I'm going to tell you that'll get you in a mess. Amen. We need to believe the promises that God has given. Now, you see, let me give you some things here real quickly. Then the Bible said here, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. I believe some of this is it just cannot be coincidence. Amen. The third day. There's something about the third day. Amen. You know, Jesus said, destroy this temple and in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. Amen. I believe there's some typology going on here. You say, Pastor, how can you? Listen, the book of Romans said, Abraham staggered not at the promises of God, but was strong in faith. Amen. That's what the Bible said. Listen to this. You say, what in the world's this got to do with the resurrection 3 days? By faith, Abraham, this is Hebrews 11:17, when he was tried, and that word is tempted in verse number 1. God tested him when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises. That's what Abraham did. He received the promises. He offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. That's what the Word of God said. Abraham. Man, what a blessing to trust. What a blessing to believe the promises of God the way that Abraham did. Did you ever stagger at the promises of God? When God said, Brother Turtle, when God said, all things work together for good. Man, I tell you, that's a good verse. But when you feel like you ain't got enough strength to put one foot in front of the other, when you've got 10,000 things that need to be done and none of them can be done, I'm telling you, if we're not careful, we'll stagger at the promises of God. When it's a loved one that you care about and you watch them wither away, I'm telling you, beloved, listen, your faith will be tried. Amen. But God said, Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. He said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Did you see a separation here? Leaving them back there. It's just me and Isaac. We're going to go over here and work. And let me give you something. You know what, at Calvary, you know why God put the lights out? It was just him and his son. Just him and his son. Something special between the father and the son. The son was given his life. Amen. I appreciate the promises, don't you? The darkness at Calvary, it shut man out. It was something between the father and the son. Not only did God provide the promise, Jehovah Jireh, he provided the place.
He provided the test. He provided the instruction. He provided the faith. But it was God that provided the Son. Most people 100 years old and 90 years old ain't having babies. But God provided. He was the Son, by the way, of promise. Amen? And the Word of God said in verse number 6 and verse number 7, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, he laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb? It was God that gave him Isaac. They got ahead of God, didn't they? Abraham thought he needed to help God out a little bit. How many's ever been guilty of that? Say amen. He don't need our help. Isaac came right on time. Let me give you something about Isaac. Abraham's 100 and Sarah's 90. And the Bible said the lad. And I think maybe even some of the artists, they might show like a little boy. Give you just a couple things real quick to think about. I personally believe that at the very least, Isaac was in his late teens. You say, how can you believe that? Brother Mike, it takes some wood to burn a sacrifice. He laid it on his son. You don't lay a bunch of wood to burn a sacrifice up on a little boy. Abraham took the fire, right? What else did he take? There was another thing he took there. He took the, what was it? Look at it. Somebody look at it. He took something else, Brother Rick. What was it? He took the knife. That's right. He took the knife and he took the fire, but he laid the wood on Isaac. Is that right? Enough wood to burn. Let me say something about the sacrifice. This goes back to Abraham's faith. In that day, heathen nations, brother, sacrificed their children. That was not something that a godly person did, was sacrifice, human sacrifice. What God was requiring of Abraham was not only against nature itself. It's not natural for somebody to want to destroy their own child. But it was against the principles set forth in the Word of God. And yet God said, and Abraham did. Let me tell you something. God may require something of you one day that don't make sense. But if it's God, you better do what God tells you to do. Amen. I guarantee you this, when God put it in Brother Coulter's heart to leave the Eastman, to leave a good job, I'll guarantee you that didn't make no sense. I know it didn't to his mom and dad. I'll just go ahead and say that. Amen. They were very concerned and had a right to be. But he said, this is what God told me to do. And during COVID, he raised his support. You say, Pastor, what happened? He went with God and God went with him and God's still going with him. There's a test that will come along from time to time. And it may not make sense whatsoever, but it always is right to go with God. Amen. Let me give you this. I believe he was at least a teenager, but if you get into the next chapter, the first verse, I believe Sarah is 127. Is that right? She's 127 years old. The first verse of the next chapter. So how many years has went by? That would be 37, right? She was 90 when she had Isaac, right? So that'd be 37 years has went by. Now you need to realize in the last part, there's some births taking place in the last part of chapter number 22. And just because it's the first verse in the next chapter don't mean it happened the next day. You understand what I mean? All them babies there wasn't born at the same time. So chronologically, we don't know for sure. But I'm just going to throw something out there. What if in typology, he was 33 and a half years old? We know he was at least old enough to carry the wood. Say amen. But what if it's about the same time that our Lord went to Calvary and gave his life I believe that's the picture that's being painted. I'm not going to be dogmatic about it because I don't know. But it would fit. Amen? Anywhere in there would fit. But most of the time when we read the word lad, we're thinking about a little one. We're thinking about Maddox, Molly, but it can't be. Because Maddox can't carry the wood to have a burnt sacrifice. He can't do that. But anyway, God provided the son. And then God provided the lamb. Look in verse number 8. And Abraham said, my son, I told you last time around that many times this is misquoted. That people say, my son, God will provide for himself a lamb. That's not what it says. It says God will provide himself a lamb. I believe it's prophetic and talking about, beloved, that the incarnation and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I'm going to get to dwell with Him because He dwelt among us. Amen? He dwells in me because He dwelt among us. He was willing. God provided a lamb. John the Baptist stood on the banks of the Jordan River and said, I'm going to do this in honor of Brother Jack. Looky there. Amen. There's the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin. The Bible just keeps getting gooder and gooder. You're getting that Old Testament. God said He put our sins in the depths of the sea. He put them behind His back. And He said, far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. The lamb comes along and where'd they go? I don't know, but they're gone. You can't find them, amen? You can't find them. My goodness, youngins. Some of you ain't heard this. Some of you have. I'm going to tell it and quit tonight. I thought I could get done with this chapter tonight. I was in a prison years ago, and the Lord led me. I had a 4-foot by 8-foot chalkboard. And every sin I could find in that Bible, brother, I wrote it on that chalkboard. I wrote adultery. I wrote stealing. I wrote lying. I wrote envy. I wrote pride. Every sin I could find in that Bible, I had that chalkboard full of sin. I got to preaching on the blood of Jesus. And I said, now listen, this is what the blood of Jesus does. And I took those erasers and I started erasing that board. I erased every bit of it. Amen. Before I done that, I asked those guys sitting in that chapel. There were about 300 men there that morning. I said, how many of you guys are guilty of some of this? I said, boys, look at me. They all looked at me. Brother Dale, this is what I told them. I said, ain't none of us guilty of some of this. All of us are guilty of all of this. And I taught them that a man offends in one point of the law, he's guilty of all, honey. Everything on the board, every one of us is guilty of. Is that right or wrong? You'll appreciate grace if you understand that. So I ain't been too bad. I'm going to tell you what. The Holy Ghost comes, sin becomes exceeding sinful. And I took those erasers and I went to erasing, preaching on the blood of Jesus. I said, now here, guys, I said, some of you don't believe you're saved forever. I said, I want somebody to come up here and take that chalk out of these erasers and put it back on the board just like it was. How many knows that's an impossibility? Well, I didn't mean for this part of the illustration, Brother Mike, but I got happy and clapped them erasers together as a big old cloud come out of them erasers, and there was a current, Brother Greg, in that chapel, and it just carried it away. Glory, glory, glory. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away. Well, if you can't get happy about Him taking away the sin of the world, you ought to be able to get happy that He took yours away. That's when it gets good. Say amen. There went my sin. I don't know which one of them systems, them return errors, Brother John sucked that in. Amen. And it don't matter. All I knew was it's gone. It's gone. Of course, that works a good. That one time, John, I just clapped them again. Amen. And, whoo, there they go. Amen. Amen. You know what happens? We get saved and we get to serving God and God gets to blessing us. And that old devil, Sister Marie, comes along. He wants to get that stuff out of that eraser. He wants to write it back on that board. He's fighting a losing battle. But if you ain't careful, he'll convince you, amen, that he can write that mess back on that board. He can't do it. It's gone. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm thrilled. My sin is gone. And because my sin is gone, one day you're going to read on the internet or in a paper or something, the Brother Vinoy's gone. And I might be gone. But you need to put a word after that. Home. Gone home. Amen. Gone home. Oh, Brother Mays Jackson, he said this. He said, you're going to get up one day and he said, you're going to look at that paper and you're going to open it and it's going to say, Mays Jackson died. He said, don't believe a word of it. He said, I'll be more alive, Brother Dale, than I've ever been in my life. Amen. Do you believe that or not? Amen. It's a truth. It's a truth. I mean, he's glad you come tonight. I knew I could get done tonight. But anyway, there's kids. Mom's got kids. And I guess kids got school and all that good stuff. Amen. So we try to quit every Wednesday night about 8 o'clock. Amen. But anyway, that's a good place to leave it right there. Amen. Appreciate you coming. I don't know why, but it just seems like there's an unusually good spirit on Wednesday night. Seems like the Lord just looks down on a bunch of people that's wore out and says, you know what I think I'll do? I think I'll bless them. Amen. I'm talking about y'all. I don't never get wore out. Amen. All right, let's stand tonight.